Now, if you would remain standing, we will read one final passage from the Gospel of John, from what is known as the prologue of John, John chapter 1. And I'll be reading verses 1 through 14. We just this past Sunday had a joint Sunday school session, and one of the things that we talked about was why Christmas is on December 25th. And part of that, the answer, of course, is, as I think I said, it's complicated. But part of that is there were ancient Roman feasts and festivals that were celebrated around that time. One of them being something called the Feast of the Unconquered Sun. It was a way of commemorating the fact that as the sun seemed to be disappearing, we get to winter solstice and see the days actually do start going longer, and the sun is not in the end conquered. But here we see the light that truly is not conquered in John chapter 1 in his prologue. And so as I read this, we stand to give our attention to the word of the Lord. And when I conclude, as a reminder, I will say this is the word of the Lord. And I would ask you to respond to that with thanks be to God. So hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me,' because he was before me. For from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace, for the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's side, he has made him known." This is the word of the Lord. Please be seated. So we'll go ahead and keep the title of the message, "The Light That Shines in the Darkness." But again, unfortunately, Dr. Joshua Howard, our senior pastor, could not be with us. I want to look at this passage, though, that he had planned on looking at with you, and just even briefly meditate on this idea of the light that is here, that John describes. It's one of John's favorite images, and he returns to it often, not just in the gospel, as he recounts some things that Jesus said and taught using that image of light, but also in his letters to believers. He uses light and dark as very powerful imagery to talk about the gospel. One of my favorite things to do when we go to the beach on vacation in the summer, all the way at the other end of the year from right now, from Christmas, is at least once or twice to try to get up early enough to get down to the beach and see the sunrise over the ocean. And the trick is to get up early enough so that you get there before it actually comes up, right? And if you're down early enough before the sun comes up, you can see the dawn gathering. You can see the beauty as the light starts to build. And you can start to see color, and you can start to see more and more of the water and of the beach and of your surroundings. But there's nothing really that compares to being there on time for that instant that the sun itself cracks the horizon. And you can see the actual sun with nothing in between you. And it, and its light is hitting you directly. Well, here in John's prologue, the prologue of his gospel, he's talking about a kind of dawn, isn't he? He's talking about a dawn of true light. But this is a dawn that is of utmost importance. John's describing Jesus, the coming of Jesus. He's doing it in a different way than the other gospel writers do. So we heard a little bit from the Gospel of Matthew, where Matthew recounts some of the actual details of the coming of Christ, of the announcement to Joseph, in particular in that passage. But then we also heard about the wise men who saw a star. And so God used light to illustrate the coming of this light that brings life, this light that Jesus is. And here in his prologue, there's one thing in particular that I'd like us to just sit on a little bit this evening as we think about the idea of light and what light means for Christmas, for the coming of our Lord. In verse 5, John says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. The light is unconquered. There is light and there is dark, but there's a difference between the two. The light shines and the darkness can't do anything about that. Darkness is actually the absence of light, right? It's not the other way around. And it's not that light and dark are in a sort of yin and yang relationship where they're equals and they're in a struggle and they fight together. There is a struggle between them, but they're not really equal. When the light shines, the darkness flees. We sang about that earlier. And we even read a picture of it from the actual creation of the world in Genesis 1, right? There is what's known in the creation story as the first malediction, the first time God said something wasn't good. And that's when he created man, but he had yet to create woman, and he said it's not good that man is alone, right? He looked at something and said, this isn't good. Something needs to happen here. But there's also something of that in the passage that we read, isn't there? If you look at Genesis chapter 1, and that very, very beginning, it says that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So God is present. He's always present. He's everywhere. And yet there's darkness. And things aren't quite settled. But then God creates again. And there's a different way that he creates here. And God said, so God speaks. And what he says is, let there be light. And the power of God's speech is such that when he speaks, it happens. And there was light. And it says, God saw that the light was good. So the light in particular was good. It was good to see what was happening, for light to be cast across this formless void of creation. God spoke a word, and there was light, and that was good. And so when we look at light, we see light goes out. It spreads. It shines over the whole world. And so John attests to this a little bit further when he says, "The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. Even his own people didn't receive him, but to any who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. This light came for the whole world, not just for the Jewish people, not just for any other particular people, but it wasn't about just a people. It wasn't about ethnicity. It was about a people God created, something that is superior here to just ethnicity or anything like that. The light is unconquered. So we see that no worldly thing can stop it. If the light is unconquered, then that means the light does the conquering. It marches everywhere as far as the curse is found. When the light shines, the darkness flees. And the fact is that God spoke and there was light, right? That is true. We read it in Genesis. He spoke and there was light, and he is still speaking. So it's not only that this light that John's talking about that's coming from Jesus, that comes from the gospel, was present during Jesus' earthly ministry while he was on earth preaching and teaching and living and being perfected as a sacrifice. Actually, in verse 5 of John 1, we see that the light shines in the darkness and the darkness has not overcome it. John's writing in present tense. This is not just when the light came. He talks about that in past tense, when Jesus was born, how Jesus came in a moment of time to begin his earthly ministry. But when he writes verse 5, he says, this is shining. This light continues to shine. There's a lot in this passage about light specifically, but this is a good point to say it doesn't start there. The image John actually starts with is what? It's this idea of the Word. In the beginning was the Word. This light is coming from a Word being spoken. Just like in Genesis 1, God spoke and there was light. This light that is life-giving, that is true, is in him. And the hymn at the beginning of the passage is the Word incarnate, Christ Jesus. In Hebrews chapter 1, a lot of first chapters this evening. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says this, right at the very beginning of the book of Hebrews, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets, but in these last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. He is the radiance of the glory of God and the exact imprint of his nature. And he upholds the universe by the word of his power. The thing that all the prophets long to know and long to see, as the author of Hebrews says, came to fruition, was manifest when this light showed up, as John describes the first advent of our Lord. Long ago, in many ways, the prophets spoke to our fathers, but now we have the light. Now we see it. And these are things the prophets wanted to look at. They wanted to understand better. And as we said earlier, they're things that the angels even want to peer into. The thing that they want to see, want to understand so much more is this dawn and what this dawn means and what the dawning of the light in our hearts means. And John says it here. We have it now. We have this light. The true light is the Word incarnate, and we have that witness that he talks about, that John the Baptist gave, the witness that John the Apostle, writing here, even refers to with him. He refers to himself and some of the other disciples when he says in verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John the Apostle is writing this to testify to this light. He's writing this to share the light. The true light that is the Word, that is Jesus, is the gospel of Jesus as God's own Son being sent for us. is present and focused on in God's Word. That's the whole point. In Holy Scripture, this truth was witnessed to by the apostles, not just John the Baptist, not just John the Apostle, but Paul and Peter and others. This light, through their writing, continues to shine. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. God's Word won't be lost and will always stand, because it's God's Word, because it's God's truth. That means it's the undisputed truth. It is unconquered light, and the truth of it is undisputed. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Scripture is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And this light that shines, as John testifies to here, it is truth unconquered. Because it's unconquered, that means it does the conquering. Because it does the conquering, that means it is glorious. It owns all glory. All glory belongs to this Creator who spoke and created everything that John describes as the Word, who then shows up to secure our salvation, to earn our salvation. Those who have their eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, they get to see the light that makes sense of everything. They see the light that puts everything aright, and it is a complete triumph over the world and the flesh and the devil. It's a victory worthy of all glory and honor. This is why the angels sing to him. They know that. And it's interesting that John ends this passage, this section, with a comparison between Moses and Jesus. And a couple weeks ago, we looked at Peter in 1 Peter chapter 1 describing this inheritance that we have. And we said that what we basically have is God. We have the revelation of Christ. We have Him. We see Him and have Him. And that's what we're talking about here, right? The light shines, and it washes all the darkness away. So John says that when all you have is law, Moses brought the law, but when all you have is law, you have conviction of sin. You have the truth about sin, but you don't necessarily possess that true light. Grace and truth, as John says, come through Jesus. And in this light, you see. Ultimately, you see the Father. We were His enemies, but in His victory over us, over our sin, He achieves glory that He lets us bask in, that we get life from witnessing to, from hearing the witness of, and then having our hearts witness to, back to the Spirit. John was with Jesus during His life on earth, during His earthly ministry, and he, at one point, saw Jesus in this full, unhidden, resplendent glory of the Transfiguration. And so, this was what Moses, this was something akin to what Moses had asked for, right? Which is what makes it interesting to me that John compares Moses to Jesus. Because at one point, Moses said, "Show me your face, Lord. Show me your glory." This is something like asking, what's it all about? What's the point of life, right? It's one of those existential questions, except it's an existential question with a clue, right? It knows the Lord and it knows, wait a minute, you're the point. So show me. And Moses couldn't see it in that instance. But John says here, the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. Then he says, the only God who is at the Father's side. What does that mean? The only God, God at the Father's side. It means Jesus is God. He is very God. And He's at the Father's side. He's the second person of the Trinity. He has made him known. The light that came at the first Christmas is the light that makes the Father known, that secures our salvation and our inheritance and gives us life. It casts the darkness out of our souls. So my prayer for us, for you this Advent season, is that you're able to bask in the light of His glory this Christmas. That all the things that you enjoy during the holidays, as good as they are, that they point you to Him. That we remember that we have His truth. We have it here. That it is unconquered and undiminished. That it does conquer. It takes away our sin, which is what we need. That light can never be distinguished. And its glory, His glory, is made known through His love and grace to us. Through making you one of God's own children. The world, for now, can still be cold and dark. But remember the truth that the light has come and it can't be conquered. And its glory shines on you. This isn't from a Christmas carol per se, but the words, this makes me think of the words from the refrain from the hymn, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," in which we sing, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace." Let's pray for that together. Lord, as we see this thing that You have done, as we think about the light, about You turning the lights on and casting out the darkness, Lord, we see that You have done that in a way that can never be conquered, can never be beaten back, and that You have shed this light of truth abroad. You've opened the eyes of our hearts to see this, Lord, and so we see that it is wonderful in our eyes. Lord, as we take in the wonders of the season, may that wonder rise to its proper place with full glory in our hearts. The birth of Your Son was the dawning of joy, of salvation. And in His death, You've subdued us and You've healed us and You have brought us to Yourself. Lord, may we treasure that above all, and may You bless that to us as we bless Your name for achieving and giving this to us in Your Son. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.